Chanukah, actually, which was actually the sixth day of Chanukah, the first day of Rosh Chodesh Tevis in the year 5572. So 5572, right? Do we do an extra five there? Anyway, either way, it's fine. Everything's under control. Machadushim by Yom Tov to Chanukah, the Gavishah Yom Tov. From the one amongst the chedush, from amongst the chedushim of the holiday of Chanukah, above relative to all other Yom Tov. And the Rebbe points out in footnote one that when it's, we refer to all other Yom Tov, we include also Purim, even though Chanukah and Purim have many things in common, as emphasized by the fact that the Rambam in his Sefer designates a section of halacha called Hilchos Megillah v'Chanukah, that he puts them together in one set of halachas, although he separates every other holiday that has its own unique halachas. Okay, so despite the fact that there are some similarities between Chanukah and Purim, there are still certain elements that are unique to Chanukah as opposed to all other Yom Tovim, which is Shabbat Yom Tovim v'Chen Shabbos Yeshni Chiyuv Shel Seuda, that in all other holidays, and including Shabbos, there is an obligation for having partaking of a seuda, a meal. She'ikra, which the primary ingredients in a seuda is lechem, umayim, bread and water, vegam, yayin. In parentheses it says basar ve yayin. Okay. It's primarily bread, water, and wine, and also sometimes basar, which is also generally included in the suda. Okay? And where do we see that suda is, the Rebbe brings sources for this in the footnotes, that the primary ingredient of suda is lechem. We know from a Rashi in Parshas Emor, as Rashi in Parshas Emor says, kol suda kruya lechem. Every seudah is called after the bread that you eat, because the bread is that which satiates the person. And the Rebbe points out a very interesting thing, that in Parshas Miketz, in this own footnote too, that in Parshas Miketz, when Yosef tells his Heisgesind, the people who take care of the house, they should prepare a meal. So he says, simu lechem, put down bread. Even though the meal included bread and wine, as it says, you should slaughter and prepare. And it also says that they drank and became inebriated with him. So you see that despite the fact that there was also meat and wine, he still said to prepare, the way he described preparing a meal was simu lechem, put down bread. You see that bread is a main thing. How do we know that the meal also includes water? So the Rebbe says in footnote 3, the way we know that a seuda also includes water, shari seuda kelelas gam shtiya v'loy oid, not only that, but ela she'ochal v'loy shasa achilos dam. The Gemara in Shabbos tells us that if a person eats and did not drink, then he's like eating blood. Okay, now, meat, now even though generally a seuda is bread and water, but on Shabbos and Yom Tov, it also includes meat and wine. Okay? And on Purim, because of the chiyuv of Shabbos and Yom Tov, and also this also includes chal hamoed, so wine, we partake of on Shabbos and Yom Tov by Kiddush, chal hamoed, it's at the chiyuv of Simchas Yom Tov, supposed to drink, the Rebbe paskins that is a chiv deraisa to drink wine every day of Chol HaMoed. It's a chiv of Simchas Yom Tov. And on Purim, yes, the Rebbe says a chiv deraisa to drink a revius yayin on every day of Yom Tov, including Chol HaMoed.
What? I don't understand.
It's not meat.
No. The reason why Rebbe puts meat here in parentheses is because meat is secondary to wine in terms of simcha. Because just that we say ain't simcha el b'basar, most Peskim hold But that is referring to Basar Shlamim, meat, flesh of the Shlamim sacrifice. The Gemara says that one does not fulfill one's obligation of Simcha except with meat on Yom Tov. Most Rishayim hold, and that's what we pass in Halacha, that that is referring to the flesh of the Shlamim. But if there's no carbon Shlamim, then you're not absolutely required to eat meat, although there are opinions that you are required to eat meat Bizman Hazeh also. Okay, but wine is certainly a requirement in all other meals besides for Hanukkah, because Shabbos you make Kiddush, Yom Tov you have Chiyuv Simcha, which is B'yayin, and Purim you have the Chiyuv, you may Mishnah V'Simcha, Ad Chayiv Inish L'Psumi B'Puri. So wine is part of, so bread, water, and wine is an obligation in every other Yom Tov, Masha Enkin B'Hanukkah, as opposed to Hanukkah. Which here he's quoting the Shulchan Aruch, that the Shulchan Aruch says that Ribui Hasudas Shemarvim Ha'am Behem, Shemarvim Behem, the additional Sudas that people increase in on Chanukah, Him Su'udas Harashos. Those are not obligatory meals, but rather they are voluntary. Shalaykavim L'mishta V'simcha, because they did not institute feasting, drinking, and rejoicing. And even though the Rambam, he points out footnote 5, that even though the Rambam says that Yimei Chanukah are Yimei Simcha V'Hallel, the Rambam does say that Yimei Chanukah are days of Simcha, still in all, he does not write that there is an obligation, like Kasav Sheyesh Chiyuv Shel Suda. He does not write that there is any obligation of partaking of a Suda, even though he does say that there is an element of Simcha. The Shulchan Aruch says, just like Kavim, L'mishtav Simcha. Even though the Rambam says, they are Yimei Simcha, Yimei Chanukah, he still does not mention any obligation to partake in the Suda.
Just one question.
Hello, but rather.
Do you understand, just how do you understand this, Ochav Elo Shosa Achilas Odom?
Because the Chazal explained that the function of water in the diet is that to spread the that whatever positive whatever benefit the body is able to extract from food, in order for that benefit to be spread throughout the body, it needs water. The water is the vehicle that transmits the takes the positive nutrients that come out of the food and distributes it throughout the body, or through this, at least through the digestive system, so that the digestive system can take out of it whatever it can. So the expression that this that it says that so instead of the nutrients being absorbed out of the food and distributed into the system and then going through and enriching the blood and basically providing nutrition for the person, what happens is that it's like it's as if he ate blood straight. In other words, it doesn't become part of the system. The body doesn't take out what it has to take out and send it into the system. It's like he ate straight blood. Where were we? Okay, back to the Sikha. Ella, but rather, the Gemara says, Kavim ba'asim yamim tevim ba'hal v'hido. They established them and they made them yamim tevim to be celebrated with Hallel, praise, v'hidah, and thanksgiving. Ikra Yom Tov, the primary opinion of the Yom Tov about Lakas HaNeres, is the lighting of the candles, Shekavim al Nes Hashem, which they instituted on to commemorate the miracle of the oil. U'me'at Taimim Lozeh, and one of the reasons why Hanukkah is devoid of so this is not celebrated through eating meals. Since the miracle of Hanukkah was the victory against the Greek Hellenists, That their desire was to cause them to forget your Torah and to make them transgress, to make take them away from the statutes of your will. So therefore it is primarily a nitzachon ruchni, a spiritual victory. Delay kibbeneis purim, she'ikar anesu ha'atzalam igzeres haman, as opposed to the miracle of Purim, which the primary miracle was the salvation from the decree of Haman, neged kiyum gufam shel bnei Yisrael, which this decree was against the continuing existence of the Jewish bodies, of derech zeh b'nes to Pesach, and similarly the miracle of Passover, shenitzlu mimitzrayim, that they were saved from the Egyptians, sheshivdu es gufam, that had enslaved their bodies. The Lachain, therefore, since this miracle is unique and outstanding in the fact that it is primarily a spiritual one, therefore, the Lachain Kavuanes, therefore, they instituted the commemoration of the miracle, Leibe Mishtav Simcha, not with drinking and rejoicing, Shekoshel Meida Al Atzolos Aguf, that is connected to and indicates the salvation of the body, Ela Beneiros, but rather with candles, Al Shem Ner Mitzvah V'Teira Er, based on the pasuk that says that a ner, that a mitzvah is compared to a ner, and Teira to light. Therefore, the way to commemorate a spiritual victory is through Neiros, through candles. L'chaere Yesh Leim. Shachidish de Chanuk l'gabi Shayim Teimu Leirak b'yachas l'nyanim Gashmiyim, Mishtav Simcha, Elogamu b'ikav b'yachas l'nyanim Haruchniyim Sheba Yonim Teimu. Then it says, it would seem that we could say that the Chiddush of Chanukah relative to the other holidays is not only when it, in terms of material matters, that the distinction is that one, that in the other holidays one is involved also in material activities to commemorate the holiday, like eating and drinking, whereas Chanukah that is not the case, but also and especially that there is a distinction between Chanukah and the Yom Tovim also in terms of the spiritual significance of the Yom Tovim. So in order to understand that distinction, we have to first preface that even the material matters of Jewish people in all days of the year are spiritual. Says all your actions should be for the sake of heaven, and in all your ways shall you know him. Which is emphasized also not only in the manner in which they eat, but also in the actual eating and drinking, shalachem umayim, ikir achilus siya nimshulu l'teira, that bread and water, which is the primary diet of the main eating and drinking, is compared to teira, hainu, shabachilas lechem ushtias mayim nikir v'nirga shehem mashal l'teira. We know that if something is a mashal to something else, then it is because it has in it, there is a spiritual connection between those things. If one thing is a mashal for something else, it's not only because the similarities are not only external, but because there is a connection between the two. And therefore, by a yid, when a yid eats bread and drinks water, when he eats it the way a yid is supposed to eat it, then he can actually, it's actually noticeable and one can actually sense that these foods are a mashal for Torah. So here the Rebbe is just throwing in the Terech Agav, that not only the way in which you eat, but one should actually be experiencing the food itself as something which alludes to a higher reality, which alludes to Torah. Is that the Jew is not engrossed and involved in the object which he's dealing with, but rather in its deeper and higher significance. If this is true, if this can be said about the weekdays, b'Shabbos is b'Yom Tov, alachas kama v'kama. How much more so on Shabbos and Yom Tov, that the eating and drinking of a Jew is a spiritual event, not a material event. Ad kidekach, to such a degree do we say that the eating of a Jew is a spiritual event on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Shabbos Shabbos is v'Yom Tov, achila v'ashsia, sudas Shabbos v'Yom Tov, he mitzvah. So this mitzvah, it's not only a spiritual event, but it's such a spiritual event that it's actually a mitzvah. And one fulfills the mitzvah of Einik Shabbos, v'simchas Yom Tov, one is fulfilling the mitzvah of delighting in the Shabbos and rejoicing in the Yom Tov. Al derech zeh v'Yom Tov, hakshurim im hatzolos gufim shel b'nei Yisrael, Purim u'Pesach. And similarly in the holidays that are directly connected with the salvation of the bodies of the Jewish people. Their material saving of their lives, and their, which is Purim u'Pesach. Shekshurim gam im hatzolos ruchnis. Those things are also, they're not exclusively material salvation, they're also included in the spiritual salvation. Hein b'Pesach, sh'ayitziyah min avdus l'cheres k'shurim matan terim. Al-doh zeh b'purim sh'kimim ha-shekiblu kva. Tzai in Pesach, which is connected to, that through the going to freedom, is connected to matan terim. As in fact, Hashem said to Moshe in his original shlichus, in his original message to bring to the Jewish people, that when you go out of Mitzrayim, you will serve God on this mountain. In other words, that the Eivishter said the whole purpose of the Golos and the Yitzhiz Mitzrayim is for the sake of Matan Torah. So Pesach is connected to the leading up to Matan Torah, and similarly Purim, which brought about Kimu Masha Kiblu Kvar, the acceptance of Matan Torah in a totally, completely voluntary way. And therefore, in the eating and drinking itself, in the rejoicing and drinking itself, is emphasized the spiritual salvation. And if you look at footnote 16, the Rebbe says, similar to the idea that we find about the eating and drinking on the Yom Tov of Shavuos. The Yom Tov of Shavuos seemingly would have the least to do with eating and drinking, because it's a totally spiritual day, it's a day of the giving of the Torah. So why should a person eat and drink on Shavuos? That's very interesting. The Gemara says a very interesting thing. The Gemara says that there is a dispute amongst the Chachamim on whether one is obligated to eat on Yom Tov. One is obligated to rejoice through material means on Yom Tov. There's one man, the Amr, that says that since the Yom Tov is referred to as, in the Pasuk, it's referred to as, it's mentioned that the Lashon LaHashem, Chag LaHashem, so therefore, and it also says, it says in one place, Lachem, so the Gemara says that you have an option. You can make either Yom Tov could be entirely devoted to Hashem, and therefore you can and not partake of any material, and not have the obligation of eating a meal and so on, of material expressions of joy, or one could do it through Lachem. One could celebrate the Yom Tov through material expressions of joy. So it's optional how you want to express your joy of the Yom Tov. Either you could do it in a totally spiritual way if you want, or you could do it in a material way. It's optional. Seudas are optional, according to this opinion. But the Gemara says the Hakol Moedim ba'atzeres deba'ina nami lachem. But everyone agrees that the Yom Tov of Shavuos, even the opinion that holds that on the other Yom Tov, partaking of a meal is optional, celebrating the Yom Tov through food and drink is optional. But everyone agrees that on Shavuos, you must partake of food and drink. You must have a seuda on Shavuos. Even the opinion that holds that on other Yom Tov, it's optional, holds that on Shavuos, it's obligatory. So why? So Rashi says, sheyismach boy b'maychel u'mishta, that it's that the everyone agrees that on Shavuos you have to rejoice with food and drink, with eating and drinking. Why dafka Shavuos? You think Shavuos is the most spiritual of the Yom Tov? It's connected to Matan Torah. Now she says laharis shenayach u'mekubul yemzel Yisrael shenitna Torah boy, to demonstrate that you accept it, that you're pleased, that it's pleasing and acceptable this day to the Jewish people that they receive the Torah. So to demonstrate your satisfaction with the spiritual revelation of Shavuos, you have to have a meal. So that's the same idea that I was saying here, that even the Yom Tov, which the main miracle that we're celebrating is, the main miracle that we're celebrating is the material salvation, the fact that Jewish lives were saved. Even in those holidays, still, the eating and drinking does not only bring is not linked only to the material salvation, but it also emphasizes the spiritual significance of the day. Like we see a similar idea in the Yom Tov of Shavuos, that dafka on the most spiritual of days, do you need food and drink to express the fact that you're really happy with it? And so is true on the other side. That the spiritual, so just like it's true of the other Yom Tov, that the material salvation of the other Yom Tov are connected to spiritual salvation, so too is it true the other way, that the spiritual salvation of Chanukah is connected to a material salvation. In addition to the fact, as the Rambam describes, that they tried to cancel, to obliterate their religion, and not allow them to be engaged in the study of Torah and the performance of mitzvahs, the Rambam says, in addition to that, Pashtu yadam b'mamayno, in addition to that, it says that they took Jewish, they extended their hands into Jewish money, in other words, that they took away their money from them, v'lachtzum lachatz gadol, and they put them under a great strain and pressure. They oppressed them greatly. So it comes out that when the children of the Chashmonoi overcame them and they killed them and saved the Jewish people from their hands, that they saved the Jewish people not only from spiritual oppression, but also from physical and material oppression. But the emphasis is primarily spiritual. Mizemovin. From this is understood. Shachidish di mei Chanukah shalei kavim l'mishtu v'simcha g'shai yom tev. Ela b'hal v'edo v'bad gashis ha'inyan ha'ruchni. Atzol ha'ruchni shavanez Chanukah l'eirak l'gav inyanam ha'gashmim shavishai yom tev. Ela gam u'b'ika l'gav inyanam ha'ruchni atzol ha'ruchni shavishai yom tev k'dlekamah. So from this it's understood that whatever unique characteristic the Yom Tov of holiday has, the Yom Tov of Chanukah has, over the other Yom Tov, the distinction is not purely that this is a spiritual salvation and that's a material salvation. Because both Yom Tov, all Yom Tov have ingredients of both. Even though you might say that Chanukah is primarily material, it's spiritual, and the others are primarily material, but still clearly they both have elements of both. And in Shavuos we even said that it's almost entirely spiritual, and yet we celebrate with food and drink. So clearly there's clearly the distinction here is not just simply, it goes deeper than what the Levush is trying to explain. The Levush explains the distinction that this is a spiritual salvation and victory, and that was a material salvation and victory. Obviously, there's a deeper distinction here. Within the spiritual qualities of the Yom Tov themselves, there must be something outstanding and unique about Chanukah, which requires that the expression of it be done spiritually rather than material, as we shall see. V'yuvan, this will be understood. V'hektem habir b'techlem aruchni shalanyanim agashmiyam. This will be understood by first prefacing the explanation of the spiritual significance of the material objects through which on which these holidays were instituted. Okay, as we said earlier, lechem, mayim, v'yayin, basudus v'chol hayom tov, bread, water, and wine in the meals which one partakes of in all the other holidays, v'shemen, and oil, v'adlakas haneres shebechag, in the lighting of the neres of Hanukkah. So we're first understanding the deepest significance of the ingredients of those of the materials with which we celebrate each one of the holidays, we will have a deeper understanding of the spiritual distinction between Hanukkah and the other Yom Tov, which is why Hanukkah is celebrated differently than the other Yom Tov. Okay, Yadua, it is known. Shalachem, umayim, yayin, v'shemen. Remzim al dagas shenus peter. It is known that bread, water, wine, and oil, this is something which is explained at discussed at length in the Sefer Imrei Bina of the Mittler Rebbe, that these four things allude to different levels within Torah itself. Lachem umayim reimzim al nigla de Torah. Bread and water allude to the revealed aspects of Torah. Yayin reimes al rozen nista shabatayr. Wine alludes to the secrets, the concealed dimension of Torah. The shemen remez al rozen dir rozen shevetei. And oil alludes to the secrets of the secrets that are contained in the Torah. And from amongst the explanations of this is...
Well, yain refers to Kabbalah or...
Kabbalah. Kabbalah, Sod. Nichnas Yayin Yatzah Sod. And Shemen refers to Razin the Razin, which Chassidus explains as Chassidus.
So the first three of Pardes, where's the third one?
He didn't say that it corresponds to the four things of Pardes. He says, Nachem Amayim referred to Nichnas Shabbatah. Yayin refers to Sod Shabbatah. Or Razin Dishdatah. And Shemen refers to Seid Shebezeid, Rosen Dir Rosen. And from the explanations of this, the fact that these allude to that which they allude to, Lachem Umayim, Hem Dvarim HaMuchrachim L'Kiyum Od. Bread and water are things which are necessary to sustain human life. V'yayin v'shemen, wine and oil are things which are not essential to sustain human life. But rather to increase an energy, such as simcha, joy, through wine, which it says in Sefer Shoftim that wine is misamech elikim. Okay, so when a person wants just the normal energy level that a person needs to sustain in order to survive is from bread and water. A person wants to get energized, he wants a lift, he wants an extra boost. So wine gives him an extra jolt of simcha. V'tainuk, and pleasure, ayidei shemen. Oil provides pleasure. So the Rebbe points out a very interesting thing in footnote 21. In footnote 21, the Rebbe points out that the Shir HaRambam of that Shabbos talks about Yayin and Shemen. In Hilchos Tainius, the Rambam talks about when it's a decree when certain crops are not when certain crops are not producing. The Rambam refers to, in Eretz Yisrael, in most places they just fast. It's only considered a disaster when basic grains and things are not grown. But in Eretz Yisrael, but the halach is that this also includes those areas of produce which the people need, which most of the people do commerce with. So in other words, it's not just the grains and things that you need to actually eat and live, but if there are crops in which most of the people of that place live off those crops for business purposes, so even if it's some other non-essential item, but for that town it's essential because that's their business. So that's also considered a tragedy, a disaster, and it has all the halachas of tainus applied to such a situation. The Rambam says, "Dvarim shel scheira sherev chai anshei oisei ir mehen kegoin," and he gives examples in different places, and he says, "Yayin v'shemen ba'aretz Yisrael." But wine and oil in Eretz Yisrael, that's considered the main production, the main agricultural production of Eretz Yisrael is wine and oil. So the Rambam says, "Sheb'aretz Yisrael dafke chshuvim yayin v'shemen kedvarim v'chrochem." That in Eretz Yisrael, normally wine and oil are not an essential. And in any other place, if the wine and oil crops are affected, it's not a tragedy, it's not a disaster, because it's not an essential. As opposed to Eretz Yisrael, in Eretz Yisrael, wine and oil are considered an essential. Because as we'll see, the Rebbe talks about that on the level of Geula, wine is, dafka wine and oil are an essential, as we shall see. The Dugmasam B'Teira. So what's the dogma of this in Teira? Okay, we just made this distinction between wine and oil and bread and water. Bread and water are essentials, and wine and oil are extras. So similarly in Teira, Nigla the Teira, the revealed portion of Teira, includes kol dinei ha-Teira, all the laws of Teira, b'inyan ha-asav ha-mutar, tameh v'ator. That which is prohibited or permitted, or that which is tameh v'ator, since it's essential in order to perform, fulfill the mitzvahs, to know that those actions which one is obligated to do and those which one should not do. So that part of Torah is compared to bread and water, which is essential to human survival. The nista the Torah, the concealed portion of Torah. Ma'aseh Bereishis and Ma'aseh Merkava, the teachings of Ma'aseh Bereishis and Ma'aseh Merkava, which the Rambam refers to as Pardes HaTorah, Yedius Elokus, which is the knowledge of godliness. Yedais and Nitesef Chayus V'Tainuk, V'Kiyam HaMitzvus, V'Tech Aves Hashem V'Yirasa, through the study of these things, it adds energy and pleasure, delight in the fulfillment of mitzvahs, out of love of God and awe of God, as it's written in Divrei Hayomim, that David HaMelech exhorts his son Shlomo, Das Elokei Avicha, know the God of your father's love, David Belev Shalem, and serve him with a complete heart, that through the knowledge of God, one serves God with a complete heart, all one's emotions are in the right place, and therefore one is not only functioning behaviorally in the service of God, the one is actually experiencing all the emotions associated with the service of God, including love and awe, which brings to that a person, and the person serves God in a way of joy and excitement. So that aspect of Torah is Nimshal Yayin Hashem, and Shem Yisivim Chayas V'Tayinah. That aspect of Torah is compared to wine and oil, which wine and oil add life and energy and excitement and delight. And within the concealed portion of Torah itself, there is a distinction between the secrets of Torah and the secrets of the secrets. Similar to the distinction, the difference between wine and oil. Yayin, wine, af, she'enim, mechuch, lakim, adam. Even though it's not essential to human survival, which is why one does not drink it as regularly as water, or partake of it as regularly as bread. But rather in special times in which there is a special need for wine, like Shabbos and Yom Tov and similar occasions, in In those times, one does not just eat it to one's meal, but rather it is drunk as a something separate unto itself. Umashke chashuv, and we see that it's chashivus. Shemavarech and ala brachim yichadus lebeiru priyagaf, and we see that it's distinct and set aside from all other foods, that it has its own bracha beir priyagavin, and we even make this bracha even if one is drinking wine in the middle of a suda. The only thing which the bracha on the suda, the bracha on the lechem, does not pata is the wine, because wine is separate and distinct unto itself. And usually we drink it even before the suda. We don't drink it as a part of me. We drink it, it's something separate that stands unto itself. Even though we do make the suda at the same place that we drink, but there's an inyan that the yayin has a chshivas as a davar b'fnei atzmo. And you drink the wine, by itself. Wine is something you can consume on its own. You can drink wine, but oil is something that you can only mix with something else. You can't drink oil plain. Halach is that if a person drinks plain olive oil, he doesn't make a bracha. Why doesn't he make a bracha? Because it harms a person. It's bad for him to drink straight olive oil. So when a person partakes of something which is bad for him, he doesn't make a bracha. Oh, so oil is only useful when it's put together with something else. And rather we mix it into other foods, and even then we only mix in small amounts. If you put in too much, it ruins the whole food. You have to put in, mix it in with other foods, and even then only small amounts. So what is this, the corresponding inyan in the secret of Torah? Shayayin reimes al razin the Torah sheshayachim legiloi. But yayin alludes to those secrets of the Torah that are associated with revelation, that are shayach to be revealed. To me, yayin shabizmanim yichadim mishtam shabay betur mashk. Like wine, which there are certain times, even though it's not something you partake of all the time, but when you can partake of it, you could drink it straight. You could drink it. It's drinkable. It's consumable. Meaning, even though it's a secret, but it's a secret that can be revealed, it can be grasped, it can be understood. It's not for public, it's not public knowledge, but it could be, but once it is publicized, you can understand it, you can grasp it. It's revelatory in nature. And therefore, you can partake of it. But Shemin alludes to the rosin, the secrets of the secrets within Torah that are higher than revelation, that even when you learn it, you don't quite get it. You never really quite get it. It's even after you're exposed to it, and even after you learn it, and after you partake of it, but you never quite really grasp it. You cannot take it by itself. You don't get it. What you know, you don't really know. And even then, it can be taken straight. Like, it can be taken straight, you never quite really get it. And even then, it has to be only as something which you can take a little at a time, and it has to be mixed in with something else. So, a pizza yesh levaya. So based on this, we could explain the significance of the Chiddush, the unique character in Milo of the days of Chanukah of all other Yom Tovim, that they did not institute drinking and rejoicing, but rather, as in other Yom Tovim, but rather praise and thanksgiving through the lighting of candles to commemorate the miracle of the oil. Given Shachanika Kashan and Shaman. Shaman Shabbatera, Rosin de Rosin, Shalomaila mi Rosin Stam, Yayin Shabbatera. Since Chanukah is connected to oil, which is the oil of that's within Torah, the secrets of the secrets that are higher than the ordinary secrets, the wine that's in the Torah, Lachas Kamakamalamaila mi Nigla de Torah, Mayim Lacham Shabbatera, How much more so it's higher than the revealed portion of Torah, which is the, simply the bread and water of Torah. It's at Gedel Malosu and Nikvul Mishnah Simcha Yidei Suda Lachem Umayim V'Yayim. Because of the great lofty character of Hanukkah, because it's connected to this very high level, the level of Shemen, therefore it could not be expressed in bread, water, and wine. Such a lofty inyan like Hanukkah. And the Rebbe says, if you look at footnote 26, which is Torah, lechem acholim shasuyim b'shemen, l'zeichen nes ha-shemen. It's a Jewish custom to eat foods that are made with oil to commemorate the miracle of the oil. That even the drawing down and the revelation of the Yom Tov, which is associated with oil, we, even when we bring that down into eating and drinking, even when we bring it down into Gashmis, Enzo B'Shem V'Fnei Atzmei, Af Shatam D'Achilas Maichel Zeh B'Glal Hashem, it's not by partaking of oil plain by itself, even though the reason for eating it is because of the oil within it, but first we mix it with some other food and then we partake of the oily food. It's a gedel ma'as Hashem and sheni yachal lov begilui kanal, because of the great, very high milo of the union of Shemen, that it cannot be expressed by itself and has to come mixed with something else. You say to me that shekam adlaks nes and the Hashem and b'dayvin she'in lan rishus t'shtamish ben el l'reisim b'vad. Even the lighting of the candles through the oil is in a way that we have no permission to use it. It's removed from us. It's too high, it's too lofty. We can't partake of it for our material needs, only to look at it.
More begiloi, in a sense, in our generation.
It's certainly not that way. Things like this. The reason why most of the people who learn Hasidus find Hasidus more readily accessible and understandable than Kabbalah is not because Hasidus is more readily understandable and accessible. The reason why they have it that way is because they simply don't have the keys to Kabbalah. In other words, they don't know the technical terminology of Kabbalah, and therefore, to them, in other words, we have accessible to us the technical terminology of Chassidus, and we don't know the technical terminology of Kabbalah. So the point is that the fact is Kabbalah is much more down to earth. Kabbalah is much more down to earth.
Really?
Kabbalah basically describes different godly attributes and how they're expressed through different human characteristics.
Oh,
that's what Kabbalah is. Kabbalah is explaining the various divine attributes through human characteristics. So the problem is that it's written. It's a very technical language, which is, in other words, somebody who reads this psychology book that's written for professionals. It's full of jargon and technical terminology, but it's really, you know, if someone put it into simple terms for you, you'd realize that it's not all that complicated.
I know that Kabbalah describes things from the view of Olam HaBo, as opposed from this view. I think it was Rabbi Mangel once mentioned that.
The Kabbalah describes?
It takes a view from Olam HaBo, not from this world, but a view from Olam HaBo.
I'm not responsible for anything that anybody else told you. I'm not sure I even understand what the words mean. But I can tell you this, that Kabbalah, in Hasidic terminology, there's two things. There's Hafshata and Halbasha. Hafshata is abstraction, and Halbasha is concretization. I mean, in other words, taking ideas and bringing them down in a concrete fashion. Hasidus is Hafshata, relative to Kabbalah. Hasidus is ideas that are mufshat, that are completely abstract from anything. In fact, there are ideas that by definition you don't have a grasp of. Within Chassidus itself, there are topics that are more graspable topics than. There are topics that by definition you have no grasp of. Even as you are intellectually understanding how by definition you have no grasp of them, you still, by definition, have no grasp. Kabbalah is all concepts that, by definition, anyone can understand. It's just written in a very technological, technical language. And you just have to be familiar with the technical language, that's it. It's like a person who does, it's like a person who's never exposed to Gemara before, okay? And he could be a person who could know Aramaic. A person who grew up speaking Aramaic, but was never exposed to Gemara before, is going to be totally bewildered when he opens the Gemara, even if he knows Aramaic. A guy knows Hebrew perfectly, he can open a Mishnah and he'll be completely lost, because he doesn't know the language. He knows the language, but he doesn't know the technical language of that subject. So Kabbalah, basically, it's just the terminology. It's very technical, but it's pure halbasha. It's pure. In fact, the whole Kabbalah is this sphere, that sphere, this midah, that midah. This sphere is connected this, that's connected that. This situation, God is expressed in this sphere and that sphere. Through this sphere, bonding with the other sphere, and it comes out between them, the third sphere, which can. So you don't relate to it, because no one have explained it to you. So you don't know, you don't understand exactly what all the references are, but they're very concrete references to divine attributes. Whereas Chassidus is totally mufshit. Chassidus explains to you, okay, Chachma, you open Kabbalah, right? Kabbalah says Chachma, so you know what Chachma is, wisdom, right? Chassidus says Chachma is the capacity to grasp your own nothingness. Oh, I understand that. That makes sense. The faculty which has the capacity to grasp its own non-existence. Uh-huh. Right. Which means what? It's not a concept you could hold on to. Chassidus puts it into the words and the language of Seichel, but they're super Seichel concepts. They're not Seicheldike concepts. They're concepts that are l'mayla min ha-Seichel, by definition. In Kabbalah, Chachma means wisdom. That's God expresses himself into wisdom. Wisdom is wisdom. And understanding is understanding. And in Chassidus, the whole explanation is how Bina is a keli to what it's not. How is Galus Atik, how the revelation of God's true infinity is in Bina, which is the finite